This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Heart of Worship, was delivered on September 8th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you welcome Pastor Aaron Pacheco?
Well, good morning, everybody. And we got to say thank you to Pastor Scott, too. You know, he was supposed to go out and speak at Word of God, which is Pastor Steve's church over in Hilo today. But Pastor Steve said that he needed to do things at the church, so he might as well speak. So Pastor Scott thought he had a break, and then I told him, no, you get to do this, this, and this today. So I'm grateful for him. He's covering half of my duties today. So thank you to him. And then right now, I noticed I haven't been up here for a couple of weeks. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But right now, I might upset you a little bit. I might make you mad because I'm going to challenge you to do something that Pastor Scott has been asking us to do for a while now. I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Now, Pastor Scott has challenged us to do this so that we would have our Bibles with us and always carrying with us. Now, here's something that not all pastors are going to agree on. Or agree with me on, but this is something that I like to do. If you have your phones with you and you have your Bible app on there, go ahead and open that up as well. You see, I believe that we have our phones with us all the time. Most of us are dead without them, yeah? We lose our phones, somebody else get them. They get everything on our life, but we carry them around with us. And this technology is supposed to make life easier, but not always does it. I believe with a Bible app on your phone, you can carry your Bible with you wherever you go. You know, when I'm on my 20-ton loader at work, there's no way I'm going to be carrying my Bible around with me on that, especially because I'm going to be on that for like half an hour, and then I'm going to jump off and jump into the excavator, and then I'm going to jump on the grinder after that. So I cannot be carrying my Bible with me. But if I have it on my phone, I know this, that the minute that God puts a thought on my heart, I can open up my Bible right there. So I'll encourage you, if some of us are very traditional, we love to carry our Bibles around, that's wonderful. You continue to do that. But all of us can put a Bible app, because they're free, can put them on our phone and always have our Bibles with us. Okay? So challenge you to do that from now on. If you don't have yours with you today, make friends with the person right next to you, because I never put the first scripture in a Bible, in the notes today. You'll notice that. Well, you notice also that, like I said earlier, I haven't been up here for 3 weeks, and that's because my worship team is just awesome. Yeah. And they've allowed me for the last 3 weeks to take a break, especially today. Kahia said, I'll step up. You got the message today. You go ahead, concentrate on speaking, and I will sing. And, you know, they sounded really good today, yeah? The only thing that, and I recognize this, that the only thing that they was missing was me. But I'm so grateful for that. Every fourth week, James steps up and he says, I'll take the fourth week for you so that you get one break at least a month. And he takes care of the team then. Last week, Diane and Doc and their group, they was awesome too, yeah? And they stepped up and said, you get another break. So 3 weeks I got break. I will be back next week. I do miss singing with them. But some time ago, somebody approached me with this question. They said, hey, aren't you the worship pastor? So how come you don't do more messages on worship? So I just smiled and I answered, you know, yes, I'm a pastor, and I do have the honor of overseeing the worship team. Actually, I got trapped by Pastor Scott to oversee the worship team. And I'm so glad he did that because I enjoy myself. But I have the honor of overseeing the worship team, but I'm not really a worship pastor. You know, when I think worship pastor, I think of Jerry Aldridge. I think of Darlene Check. I think of Ron Kinnoli. I think of Chris Tomlin. I think of guys like that, guys who they can sit down for 5 minutes and write a whole song, a whole worship song. Guys who, they pick up any instrument and they make that bugger sound good. Guys, people who can tell you how the key of C is more righteous than the key of D. I don't even know the difference between the two. But those are, when the term worship pastor comes up, that's what I think of. So I explained to them, you know, I'm a pastor. I get to love people the way that pastors are ordained to do. But not really a worship pastor. I oversee the team. I direct them. I get to make sure that all these pieces come together and we work as one beautiful puzzle, pieces of a puzzle that are beautifully placed together. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good at that. And I enjoy doing it, and I get to love these people. That's what I do. So that's what I'll usually speak about. Well, I don't know if they were satisfied with that answer, but they nodded their head, thank you, and they walked away. Well, about 2 months ago, I'm sitting with a friend just talking story, and then it hits me. Hey, September 8th, I have the message. And I tell them that, you know, I got the message on September 8th, and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about yet. You know what they said? They said, aren't you the worship pastor? So why don't you do something on worship? And I laughed, said, aha, yeah, okay. So I explained to them the whole song and dance once again, and same thing. They just nodded their head and accepted it as that. Well, 6 weeks ago, I'm sitting at my computer, and I'm racking my brains because at the six-week point, I got to get notes to Pastor Scott and to the team so that we know what I'm going to be speaking about, and the notes can be out for you and everything all set in place. And then I do the one thing that I should have done from the beginning. I close my eyes, I fold my hands, I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? You guys ever do that? Come to the end of your rope, and then you ask God what we should do. You should always do that at the beginning. It would save us so much stress. But that's where I was at that night. And with all of my heart, this is what I heard God say. He said, aren't you the worship pastor? So this morning, we're going to be talking about and looking at the heart of worship and how it affects my life. That was decided 6 weeks ago. But that conversation with God didn't end with that. You see, he went on to place on my heart to remind me about what worship really is. It isn't something that only takes place once or twice a week. It's not something that requires music or a choir or a band or a worship team. Worship is actually our lives. Everything, every moment we live and breathe. Because whatever we do, whatever we say, even whatever we sing, we are worshiping something. And the question is, what or who are we worshiping? Now, if we take that word, worship, take it and break it back down to its origin, what we will find is this hyphenated word, worth-ship. And that's exactly what it is. Worship is worth-ship. In everything that we do, and is giving worth to something or someone. We are worshiping in everything that we do. If what we do gives God worth, then no matter how big or how small we deem the action to be, then we are worshiping God. You get it? But here's the kicker. And this is what we were created to do. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. Says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So here it is. Straight out of the mouth of Jesus himself. The greatest purpose for our being is to love God with all that we are. To give him glory in all that we do. Every part of our lifestyle, giving him worth. That's called worship. It's a surrendering of ourselves where we're no longer focused on me, but we're focused on he in everything that we do. So, if you're still under the impression that worship only takes place for about 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, and that it can only happen when we sing, then you're missing out on your whole purpose for being the other 10,600 minutes of the week. To put it bluntly, that's 99.8% of your life spent not doing what you were created to do. Think about that for a little bit. What if you were missing 99.8% of your car? Huh? How about somebody who's working for you, only working for you 0.02% of the time? That's what it's like. My wife tells me that sometimes I'm missing 99.8% of my brain. But that goes without saying. But that's what it's like if you're only worshiping God when you come here on a Sunday morning. Catch this. If you're doing that, it also goes without saying that you're missing out on what happens to your heart when we worship the Almighty God. Pastor Scott touched on that earlier. I thought he was going to do my whole message when he came up and talked about that. But something does happen to our heart when we choose to worship God, yeah? When we choose to worship the Almighty God. I know, and I fully agree, that worship is unto God and that it has nothing to do with us. In fact, like I just said, it's a surrendering of ourselves to Him. But something inevitable does happen to us when we do what we were created to do. Something that begins in the heart. And I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the very God-given breath that lies in the depth of our souls, our spiritual heart. It begins there, and then it permeates every aspect of our lives. You see, when we give God His worth, He doesn't by any means allow that to go void. You ever give praise to somebody, maybe after a job well done? Thank you very much. Or you were awesome in this. And then they say, oh, okay, thank you, you're welcome. And then that's it. It's like they didn't even get to really receive that. Ever happened to you? Happens to me with my kids all the time. But God is not like that. That's why when we so enjoy worship, when we come here and you know, things have been harsh during the week, and we come, and then after we sing glory to God, we feel so light, we feel healed, we feel complete, and we feel joyful, energetic even. You know why? Because God showed up. God comes and He receives worship. So you think about that. If worship is what we do, in everything that we do, if it's giving Him glory for all of our lives, in everything that we do, and God shows up in every moment of our lives, think of how much better our lives would be. God does not just sit on His throne and say thank you. He comes and He receives that praise. And when He does, things happen. Now, this is something that I recognize. I recognize it very early in my walk with Christ. And for most of that walk, I've been studying and asking and trying to find out exactly what that was. And I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit revealed it to me a few years back. I found it in the book of Luke, chapter 20. And this is a story where Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, the keepers of the law back in His time. They kept the law, but they forgot what it meant to worship God. And it says that Jesus looked directly at them and He asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." Like I said, a few years ago in my devotions, I came across this scripture, and this one really was almost like an aha moment for me. Tugged on my heart, and I had to write down, stop, listen to what God was saying to me, and write it down. And after I had written down what God was talking to me, I had to ask this question. I had to ask Him, Lord, was I being like the Pharisees? Was I being pharisaical? Was I behaving like these guys who knew the law but didn't know your heart? And trust me, it was one of the biggest reliefs of my life when I heard God say, no, that's not it. But this is what he was saying to me. Focus on verse 18, where Jesus states that everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Of course, the stone that he's talking about is himself. And when we worship God, when we give Jesus the glory, no matter in what form, when we surrender to his will, what actually happens is we fall upon him. We fall upon the rock. And you know what happens? It breaks us to pieces. This is what happens when we fully surrender to, when we worship God in all that we do. Number one, it breaks our heart. Anybody besides me ever, after just talking story with the Lord, after just saying, Lord, how good you are, after telling him how much we love him, after using our hands and our feet to serve somebody and love upon them because we know that it pleases God, anybody ever just start crying? How about when we're singing here together and we start giving our praise to the Lord? Anybody ever start crying? So do I. You know, back in the day, I grew up as a son of a commercial fisherman. So, you know, tough guys, men don't cry. That's what I was always taught. So I would always hold it back. And then I met this pastor over in a conference, and he's a big, big church pastor, one of the biggest churches in the United States. And he said this in one of his meetings, one of his teachings. He said, men who don't cry are not tough. They have just learned how to disconnect the wiring that God has given us. Men who cry are very brave because they allow themselves to feel and leave those wires connected and feel the way that God has allowed us to. After that, I just been on cry baby. But it's the reason that we begin to cry for no reason at all when we do something that we know is pleasing to God, because we have just fallen upon him and we get broken. Now let me ask you this. Is that what God desires? That we stand before him broken? I just talked about how the world thinks, especially towards men. You got to be tough. You got to be solid. You got to be in control. But what does God think? Take a look at David, a man after God's own heart. Take a look at what he says in Psalms 51. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So let me ask you again, does God desire that we stand before him broken? Absolutely. And this is exactly what happens when we worship him, when we fall upon the rock that he is. Our heart is broken to pieces, and God loves it. You know why? Because that's when he can take all that we were and piece it back together again the way that he wants. If you've never heard this before, I want you to hear this now and understand it, and don't forget this one, this statement. It said, God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And worship helps him, when we get broken, to accomplish the good work that he wants to do in us. So when we stand before him, whether in song or in word or in deed, when it's no longer about what I want or what's good for me or what he can do for me, when it's no longer about my agenda, but instead it's us saying, here I am, Lord, fully surrendered to your will, broken. And I'm not going anywhere until you piece me back together again the way you want. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the words that I speak when I'm in this state. In fact, I know that many of you have spoken them as well. First, that four-word statement that melts his heart more than anything else, when we say, Lord, I love you. And then those two words that he longs to hear, the words, use me. You do your thing. You do your will in me. That's what worship does to us. It brings us to that place where only one thing matters, that God gets to do his thing with us. And he loves it, because that's when his good and pleasing and perfect will can take place in our lives. And he takes that broken heart, removes all that does not glorify his will, and he puts it back together again the way he meant it to be. That's what worship does. It breaks our heart to pieces so that God's will can be done in our lives. But that's not it. It doesn't stop in the heart. It flows 18 inches upward, and it changes our mind. Changes our mind. Our worship leaders reflect on it all the time. Pastor Scott reflected on it this morning, that we can be having the worst day in our lives. The boss might have yelled at us, spouses trying to pick a fight with us, kids not listening to us. But when we worship the Almighty God, all that melts away. You know why? Because worship takes the focus off of our thinking from what's going on out here to what God is doing in here. That same trip where I heard that pastor make that statement that I said earlier about crying, that was in Chicago. And that was about, what, 11 years ago now? 15 years ago now? Yes, I am that old. Okay. So we went out to, it was at Willow Creek Church. If you know Willow Creek, I think now they have somewhere around 40,000 membership. In Chicago, they're really big. But we went with my dad and my mom and Pastor Charlie and his wife, Mapu. If you don't know Pastor Charlie, he's overseeing our church in Keokaha now. But back then, we were just the little guys, just got hired by the church, and my father wanted to take us on this trip to a conference at Willow Creek. Because I was the young guy, guess who gets voted driver in Chicago? Well, after the conference was all over, I wanted to surprise my dad. So he said, let's just go someplace. We had a day off. Let's just go someplace. You choose. Didn't tell him. He was going to take him to Bass Pro Shops. Okay. Only thing about Bass Pro Shops, it's about, with the traffic, was about an hour away. Took us like 2.5 hours to get there. Only because I kept missing the turns. And back then, the GPS was new, and you had that irritating lady on there telling you, recalculating. On that trip alone, in that 2.5 hours, we heard that maybe 30 or 40 times. The joke after we got home, Pastor Charlie, every time I did something that wasn't exactly right, he would be saying for a whole year, like he would say, recalculating. By the way, yes, my dad was so upset with me all the way. Literally grumbling from the third row seat in the back until we pull around the corner and he sees Bass Pro Shops. And then everything was good. But that's what worship does. Always it recalculates our focal point. Brings us back to the place that we know that God is good, that his plan for us is good, that he loves us too much to allow us to be down all the time. The thing I miss most about working at Helco is not the big cherry pickers that I used to get to work in. That was fun. Not climbing up 100-foot poles. That was fun. Not necessarily the excitement of touching 12,470 volts every day and living. The thing I really miss the most about working there is not a thing at all. It's actually a person. And I usually don't use names, but I will here. This guy, his name is James Chai. He's their lead troubleshooter now. And you ever meet him or know him, you tell him that Aaron said that he missed him, okay? And you know why I miss seeing him every day? It was because of his attitude. I would ask him, every opportunity I had, I would ask him how he's doing. Every morning I would see him, that we were working on the same days. I'd ask him, Brother James, how are you? And he would always say these words. He would always say, better than I should be. Better than I should be. No matter what was going on in his life, his answer was always the same. And I needed to hear those words every day. Better than I should be. Because what he meant by that is that God is so good to him that regardless of what's going on at work or at home or anywhere else for that matter, it's all good. Because God is good. I remember when he first said that to me, caught me off guard. But I remember thinking, here's a guy who has learned to honor God with his life, and it's reflected in his thinking. The truth is that this world is going to dump all kinds of garbage on us. That's just how it operates. And we can make the choice. We get to dwell on that and live in the garbage can, or we get to change our focus onto how good God is to us and begin to let that permeate through our thoughts. You know what that's called when we do that? That's called worship. We sing it all the time. We sing, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he healed me, or filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. I love that song. But do we do it? We sing it. Do we do it? The Apostle Paul, he said it like this. He said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Paul. This guy had every right to grumble about his life, to dwell on how evil the world was to him. He was beaten, stoned, whipped, thrown in jail. And yet, as Acts 16 tells us, he never stopped worshiping his God. And that is the very reason why his attitude was always so remarkable, because his focus was in the right place. That's what worship does. It moves our thinking from how ugly this world can be and places it on how good God is. You know what? One of the things I despise is when somebody comes up to me after service and says, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry, but I just couldn't worship today. And I always ask them, why? Was my singing that bad? Well, thus far, I've never had anybody say yes. Every time the answer has been no. It's because of what happened this week, and maybe it's something I did to my wife or my children, but I'm just not worthy. Today I just wasn't worthy of worshiping God. You ever feel like that? You know what I will tell you if you tell me that? Same thing I told this person. I told him, you better believe it. You are not worthy of worshiping God. And neither am I, or Pastor Scott, or Billy Graham for that matter. None of us are worthy of worshiping God. But here's the thing. Worshiping God has nothing to do with our worthiness and everything to do with how worthy he is to be worshiped. So you ever feel like that? That is a lie from a half-truth from the devil. You feel like you're not worthy of worshiping God? Know that it's true and worship God all the more, because that's the full truth, that he is worthy. We're not worthy of worshiping God, but he is worthy of worship. It all comes down to a matter of thinking. Look what else Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, where he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, you think about such things. And worship will do exactly this, because it takes us from the place where we think only about ourselves and our oppression, and we begin to think about what God is thinking about. It brings us to start thinking about one of the things that he thinks about most. You know what God thinks about most? He thinks about how much he loves people. So from there, it moves our hands and our feet. Worship moves our hands and our feet. Speaking about loving people, I've said it several times before, and he doesn't like when I say this, but I'm going to do it anyway, okay? I have this brother here, Mike Callen, and I've told you about how much how great of a friend he's been to myself and my family, and I know you fully agree if you know him at all. He's a wonderful brother. Didn't he do an awesome, awesome job speaking a couple of weeks ago, or a little over a month ago? I never got to tell him that, or embarrass him up on stage for that. But I just want to tell you a story, because when Mike first got here and met Pastor Scott and I, talked about fishing right away. You know, he hadn't fished in the island, so he wanted to do that. So we took him back before the lava flows, down by the lighthouse. Place is gone now. But we went, every once in a while, we went whipping. Water was pretty good. So we went whipping along the coastline, and what we do is we just walk along and we whip, and you know, every once in a while we catch a fish, and it was good, wonderful fellowship, wonderful competition, especially. I beat him. But anyway, about half a mile into our walk, there used to be this island set out in the away from the cliff there, or the beach there, an island about 100 yards off. Of course, Mike asked about the island, how come it's there and it's standing all alone out there in kind of deep water. Pastor Scott and I didn't know the answer, so we made up a good one, that the cone actually blew this big chunk of rock out into it, and it landed over there. I think he still believes that today. But anyway, you know, Mike was saying, huh, might be fun to swim out to that island. I bet I could, you know, 100 yards out. So, you know, I wasn't going to be outdone by this new guy to the island. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I do it all the time. And then Pastor Scott said, oh, I could do that too. So we start, you know, as boys go, they start daring each other. And finally, we decide we're going to take turns proving that we can swim out to the island. So Pastor Scott goes first. He jumps in the water. And you guys all know that he's not a good swimmer, right? So I know he's not going to make it already. He goes out 10 yards. He's already starting to struggle against the current. He gets out to 20. He knows he cannot make it. Wisdom. He swims back. So he said, man, that current is really, really strong out there today. Nobody's going to make it. I said, son of a commercial fisherman, this is easy for me. So I jump in the water and I get in. I reach where he was, and I'm starting to tire out too, but pride pushed me on, right? So I keep going, 20, 25, 30, 35. I get to 40 yards. I am barely breathing already, and I know I'm not going to make it, so I swim back. So Mike says, you know, I used to swim in the Great Lakes and all that, and Pastor Scott and I smiling at each other because the open ocean is nothing like the Great Lakes. So he jumps in, and next thing we know, he's out at 30 yards and going strong. And we look at each other. He's out at 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, and he's just at 70, he's just starting to tire. And we're looking at each other, and he said, this guy can swim. So he gets 75, and he's slowing down. He gets to 80, and he hits this mean current, and it's like he's not moving at all. And he knows he cannot make it, so he swims back. Oh, come on. Was it that bad? That was a joke. I guess I don't joke around with you guys enough, yeah? Don't worry, you get it. But the point of the story is that I just wanted to get Mike back for the goat joke that he told on the last time he was there. No, the point of the story is you got to be able to finish, right? Anything that you start, you want to finish. And the same thing goes with worship. It begins by God breaking our heart. It moves to our thinking. From the heart, it moves into our thinking. But to finish well, it always has to move into the hands and the feet. Worship breaks our heart so that God can put us back together again as he desires. And it changes our thinking so that our focus is on what he's doing and not our agenda. But again, he isn't done with us yet. Worship brings God's will and his thoughts to life. It becomes animate, through our hands and our feet. Romans 12, where it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." You know, when I was in college playing football, this is my probably my favorite scripture in the whole Bible because of my interpretation of it. I interpreted it like this, that God was telling me to build up my body because that was my worship to him. And I did. You may not believe it now, but I was a little bit lighter, but a whole lot stronger. 3.7% body fat, if you can imagine that. And I thought that was worship unto God. You know, it was worship, but not unto God. Because with that body, I never lifted a finger to help other people. Didn't have the time. I was too busy building up my body. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking staying fit. In fact, at this point in my life, I'm very convinced that I need to change my eating and exercise habits. What I am saying is that there is a reason for keeping this body in good shape, in good health. It has everything to do with worship, so that it might be used for God's glory as his hands and feet to serve and love upon his people, especially those who don't know him. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. That is the spiritual act of worship when we get active. You know, I get upset by people who say, "I'm a worshiper. I just love to worship. That's what I was made to do. Worship, worship, worship." We don't worship enough at this church. We should worship for like 2 hours at least. And then I tell them, "Great. You want to worship? Come. Come sweep the floor with me. Come scrub some toilets so that somebody can feel comfortable. Or come greet people with me at the door. Or park, help them park their cars. Share God's love with somebody who thinks they're unlovely. Come serve the people that God loves with me." We can do that all day. You know what they say? They say, "No, oh, no thanks. I just came to worship." That breaks my heart because it shows that they know nothing about worship at all. Folks, true worshipers are living and active in their worship. They lay down their lives for the will of God. That's what worship is. Their bodies become a living sacrifices to the desires of God. And in this, we begin to be just like Jesus, serving. He says so in Mark 10, 45, where he says, "For even I, Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." That is the way in which he worshiped the Father, by serving, by laying down his life. And that's exactly what you and I are called to do.
That's exactly what happens when we do,
when we start serving the people that God loves. That's called worship. And let me tell you what that kind of worship does. It ushers people into the kingdom of heaven. Because when you start serving and loving people for God's glory, they no longer see a man or a woman. They begin to see the heart of Jesus Christ. And that changes eternity. So I hope you noticed today that worship is a full circle thing. And it should be, because that's what we were created to do. It breaks the heart so that God can put it together his way. It flows up into the mind and gets our focus on what God is doing. And then it flows out to the hands and feet, serving the people who God loves in the hope that they'll have a relationship with him too. That's the epitome of worship, that God will be pleased as somebody comes to live to worship him for eternity. Then you know what it does? Breaks our heart all over again so we can do it all over again. Would you write this down on the bottom line? The worship doesn't just affect my heart. It affects my eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Scott.
You guys got it? Worship is a lifestyle. Hey, I never know they made you drive in Chicago. They did that to me in Washington, D.C., and had Pastor Alex and Pastor Sheldon in the back seat, and had that little irritating voice redirecting. And they told me, make a U-turn here when they said, no U-turn. Turn here. It's like, and you know how much pressure is that when your senior pastor is in the back seat telling you to break the law? Oh. And I'm like, I know I need to obey the law, but my senior pastor and the assistant pastor is in the back here telling me, turn here. And it's like, oh, and it took me so long just to find the hotel, but not an hour and not 2 hours, but it's like, it is stressful. One day we should take somebody with us and we should hop in the back seat and tell them do that, yeah? The only thing is I'd probably be so car sick that it wouldn't be fun at all. What a great message. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Give him a hand. Worship team, could you come up? Hey, if I did forget to mention, the volleyball today is at Andrew's gym, okay? So don't show up over here, because if you show up over here, nobody's going to be here. All right, would you all stand, and we're gonna sing, and let the words take the focus off of yourself and put it on to God.
You guys ready to worship for the next 2 hours? No, only joking.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.